Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents six. The Drive with the Top Six at six.
How about six? Six is good.
Hey, just a heads up, we'll have Adrian Dater. We talked to him earlier, but his take on the McKinnon situation was really interesting, so hang in there. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Story number one, though, was the press conference today with George Payton, GM of the Broncos, and head coach Vic Fangio. And in terms of the draft, George Payton talked about what they would do possibly at number nine.
Yeah, I mean, we're open to any position with that first pick. And we're going to take the best player that can help this football team. So quarterback, you know, safety, it doesn't matter what player, you know, what position. If it's the best player on the board, we're going to take him.
Okay, Tyler, what do you think the odds are that the Broncos do seriously consider taking a quarterback at nine or moving up to get one?
Oh, I'm sure that it's definitely on the board. 100%. I mean, they're actively trying to find a better quarterback for the Denver Broncos. So if they were at nine and there was a guy that they liked, I'm sure that they would take him. Now, I don't think it's very likely that you're going to be sitting at number nine and have a guy that you like just fall to you, because we're probably going to have four quarterbacks go in the top five or six, right? So if you want one, you're going to have to move up.
I do not think they're really actively thinking about a quarterback at this point.
Oh!
I don't. Now, hey, maybe I'll be proven wrong. The problem is when you're talking about, now he said safety, but he easily could have said corner. And corner is just such an obvious choice. You don't have to give up anything. You're going to get a great corner with Farley or Surtain. Believe it or not, Mike Evans, there's two this year. It's crazy. You're going to be fine, and nobody's really going to be all that critical of you, and it absolutely makes sense. And I just feel the competition they'll give for Drew Lock, Tyler, I don't think it'll be an older guy like Fitzpatrick. I think they'll take a swing at somebody that they think may turn out like Tannehill. And I just got this feeling like Mitch Trubisky, who Fangio knows from his time with the Bears, not like it's a definitive, like he's our guy forever, but man, if this guy pops and he's got the right amount of NFL experience, maybe he can become our Ryan Tannehill. I'm feeling more and more like that. He's got a relationship. He's the right age. They'll probably sign him to a contract. Like, if it doesn't work out, who cares? And it really would be a straight up competition between him and Drew Lock.
Well, that certainly could happen. There's a lot of possibilities, and I think a lot of them are realistic. That one's certainly realistic. My only issue with Mitch Trubisky is that of all the quarterbacks that are out there right now, you're going to have to pay him the closest to starter's money.
Yes, you are.
He's got a heck of a resume, and he's going to want to get paid a very handsome amount. So
17?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, unless I'm ready to commit to the guy, that's too much.
For a year? 17 for one year?
Well, you won't get him to sign for 1 year. He wouldn't sign that.
34.
Well, maybe he would. I don't know.
17.
You want to get back to the table as often as you could.
Ring Kevin.
Well, you're going to owe me another coffee here. Big Ben has renegotiated with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
What's the bet?
Well, the bet was between you and I. You bet that Big Ben would not be the starting quarterback next year because you always bet against the older quarterbacks. You bet against Tom Brady.
We got time. It wasn't if he was going to. It's not looking good for me. I'll give you that.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah. Okay.
But we got time.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, Big Ben has renegotiated his contract. He created around $15 million in cap space for the Steelers. He took a $5 million pay cut, took the rest of it up front. To create all that space. You are not giving up on your bet just yet, huh?
A lot of things can happen.
Like?
Injury, desire, motivation.
Desire, motivation?
But it's not looking good for me.
What?
It's not looking good. I'll give you that. Do you think Drew Lock is still in play a little bit, or do you think that's...
What do you mean? For who?
All right, Roethlisberger obviously is trying to figure out a deal to come back with the Steelers. I'll give you that. I'm probably going to lose
my
bet.
No, they already figured it out. What do you mean? He's not trying.
All right, so fine. That story is done. I get it. Ha, ha, ha. You win. I'm short. I'm kind of moving to it. You know what? Ring it. In light of Ben Roethlisberger 99% coming back to be the starting quarterback of the Steelers. We have not had a retirement announcement from Drew Lock, and he's pushing sleds in an Orange Theory cross.
See, you're messing me up because you're trying to say Drew Brees.
What
the whole time you keep saying Drew Lock, and
sorry.
That's why I could not follow
you.
But now I understand,
Drew
and
Brees.
That's why I was looking at you so crazy.
Sorry, Drew Brees.
Okay.
Is pushing sleds in an Orange Theory CrossFit class. He has not retired yet. What do you think is going on with Drew Brees? And the Saints.
You know, it sure feels like he's going to retire. He negotiated that deal. I don't really know the specifics of it, but he renegotiated it
that
it was basically like, but it's not as simple as that because he would get money back if he were to actually come play. So it's not just a vet minimum.
Okay.
But anyways, all the signs point towards him retiring. The problem is, what's taking so long, right? And why is he working out? I bet you he doesn't know what he wants to do yet. I do think that the Saints want him to retire, and he probably feels that. And once you realize the organization wants you to retire, it might push you into that.
I can't wait for free agency in a couple weeks, man. It is going to be, I mean, what, it was 17th? And we're going to have some fun stuff probably 3 days ahead of time, like around the 14th. Dude, this may be the most fun free agent period of all time. There's just going to be so many things going on. Can't wait. Bart Scott, ring it, Kevin.
Did you gather any new nuggets in regards to Von Miller and maybe where the team might be after today's pressers?
No, not with Von. Aside from they say they want him, which, of course, if they want him, they can just keep him. They don't have to do anything. But that's another deadline that's coming up on March 16th, right before free agency gets going, that they have to, you know, say, are we in for $7 million on Von? I do think the court case is something. I don't know if it's everything, but I think it's something. But I don't know, man. It doesn't feel like it'll be resolved before then. I definitely could be wrong on that. But my guess is Von is back. Guess Von is back.
How?
I think they just they restructure slightly, but they get him back to his salary that he was going to get with bonuses that are achievable, like J.J. Watt with the 10 sacks. So I know it's weird because we've said, why even bother with that if you're going to do it? And I think he'll have an extension as well. I think that's what will happen.
Oh, well, if he gets the extension, sure. The way you started that, it started as asking him to take a pay cut. And I think that is the least likely way to get
Von back. I think there will be a portion of a pay cut. I think he can make it up in bonuses, they'll add on some years.
He won't take a pay cut, but you could lower but you could lower the cap hit. So you can lower the cap hit without giving him a pay cut by paying him up front. So you extend him, and you give him money up front. I mean, when he just saw J.J. Watt's deal, why in the world would he take a pay cut?
Let me not get involved in the minutia. I think they'll figure something out, and I think they want Von back, and I think he will be back.
Okay.
With the exception of something crazy happening with the court case that would prohibit it.
Yeah.
However they do it, you know, whatever magic they do, I think he'll be back. You?
I do, too. I think that they will give him an extension, and it'll be similar to what J.J. Watt just got. You're going to lower the cap hit, but you're going to pay him a lot of money up front, and you're going to get an extra year out of it.
Ring it, Kevin. Our guy Richie, who looks buff and tough, is wearing all of his Michigan State gear as his Sparty Spartans are trailing the arch rival Michigan Wolverines 39-28. Uh-oh. 39-28. Huh. 39-28. I'm trying to channel Zach Bye here. Do you think the final score will be a similar difference? Or do you think Michigan will score one more bucket difference by the end of this game for Richie? Which would be against Richie,
actually. That really took me a long time to figure out where you're going.
Yeah, you got to read between the lines here a little bit.
Yeah, I got there. I have no idea, but I know this. Richie doesn't have much confidence in his team. He's got quite the get-up on today.
What do you mean not confidence? How can he have more confidence?
Well, let me explain. It's very obvious. He's got quite the get up on. He's got on the Michigan State jacket. He's got the Michigan State shirt.
Which fits now.
He had a Michigan State hat on. And not only did he have all that, but he brought an alternative hat, the bucket hat, that he was going to have to go to in case he needed a rally. So he has turned over to the rally hat.
I see what you're saying.
He preemptively planned bringing the rally hat with him. And he's already put it on.
And by the way, it should be said, way to go CSU Rams. Their odds of making the tournament are fantastic. They've had a tremendous, tremendous season. And so have the CU Buffaloes in basketball. So I think we've got some really exciting things to look forward to here with college basketball. And that's awesome. Both those two teams are doing so well. Ring it, Kevin.
All right, here's a fun one, and it's kind of complicated. You gotta hang with it a little bit to try to figure it all out. But the Ravens have proposed a new overtime rule that they basically want to overturn the entire deal. So they want to get rid of just a kickoff, you know, go down the field, have a, if you score a touchdown, it's over. Mm-hmm. If it's a field goal, it continues. No, instead they're proposing that you flip a coin, okay? The team that wins the coin toss gets to decide the spot of the ball. Mm-hmm. And you can decide anywhere on the field that you want to put the ball. So if you want to put it on your own one, you could. If you want to put it on their one, you could. If you want to put it on the 50, you can put it wherever you want. The other team that does not get to choose the spot of the ball, they get to choose whether they're going to be on offense or whether they're going to be on defense. Really, really interesting, and it would really give you the opportunity to kind of bait the other team into choosing what you want them to do, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, if you think you've got a really good defense, well, you could bait them into saying they want to go, they're going to take the ball off offensively, right?
Mm.
What do you think about this?
I love the spirit of it. I think it's a lot of fun. We were going through some of the scenarios, like, would you just put the ball at the one-yard line and, you know, the other team would basically say, oh, well, we're offense. You know, we're not going to say we're defense. We're not going to give you the ball at our one-yard line. But then can you stop them and then kick a field goal, basically? That sort of thing. And you could just come up with a million machinations of what it would be. I love that concept. That being said, it does feel just a pinch too gimmicky. And I'm not off of my position about no kickoff. The ball starts at the 35-yard line. It's 4th and 15. Do what you will. I mean, either you go for it, you punt the ball most likely, and then you go through overtime at that point. I still like that better. However, I love the spirit of it, and if they decide on it, I think it's far better than the system they have now. You?
I think it's fascinating. I think it's probably overcomplicated and probably too complicated to the degree that the casual fan would not understand what's going on and why the decisions were made. And anytime you complicate the game to that point, you're probably making a mistake. You want to keep things simple, stupid. So I like the creativity behind it. I think it's too much.
Yeah, I still would prefer a system where both teams have an opportunity on offense to score the ball. What can I tell you? So at the end of the day, I actually feel like I'm one of the few people that really loves the college football overtime system because I think it's just so darn exciting. But I've heard a lot of people push back on that in the NFL. But, you know, I like it because both teams get a chance. Well, offensively, you're not endangering anybody with kickoffs. And I've seen it and seven overtimes is kind of exciting in that format as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, but I've got a lot of thoughts on that. I won't go too deep into it.
All right,
but, yeah.
Good enough. Bring it, Kevin. Wrap it up. All right. Hockey guys. I mean, it was great watching the Avs win last night. 4-0 over those dirty, filthy Sharks. And positioning the opposing bench at the blue line to get bad offsides. We know what they're doing. But last night was, in my opinion, repulsive because some low-life Sharks player tried to take out one of the best players in the NHL with a cheap shot. And let's hope Nathan MacKinnon's okay. We broke this down earlier with our guy, Adrian Dater from ColoradoHockeyNow.com. I've been dying to talk to Adrian all day, you know, Tyler, the hockey guys.
Right.
Here. And I don't even care if I get this dude's name wrong. But Joachim Blechfeld, how am I doing? Am I close there, Dater?
You know, I don't even know myself, T-Mac. I think it's Joachim
Blechfeld.
Sure, good enough.
I know there's a different name going around on Twitter what Avs fans are actually calling him.
Yeah.
We won't say it here.
I can make the guess. Okay, just quickly before I totally destroy this guy, what level of player is he in the NHL?
He's a no-name guy who he got drafted a few years ago in the third round, and he's only played his fourth NHL game last night. So he's been one of those guys who's been in the minors for
trying to make a name for himself.
Yeah, that's what. That's right. This guy is reprehensible. And the NHL, now what I'm talking about was this blatant attempt to take off Nathan MacKinnon, one of the top five players, arguably the top player in the NHL's head, and what is one of the dirtiest moves I've seen. And thank God it looks like Nathan's okay. First, let me start there. How's Nathan doing?
You know, I haven't heard anything different that he's not okay. The Avs were off today, and there's always kind of a cone of silence over the team right now in our COVID times when that happens. So I haven't had anybody tell me different today that he's not okay. Now, that doesn't mean that sometimes there's always a little bit of a – sometimes there are bad surprises with the Avalanche medical-wise. So let's hold our breath a little bit more till tomorrow, and if I find out more, I'll let you guys know.
Right. So here's what I want to say, Adrian. For a guy who's a junkie, barely hanging on, not really nothing guy, to suspend this guy makes no sense. What you need to do, NHL, is suspend somebody who's the equivalent of the player he was trying to take out. As well as him. If not, then it's time to just get Scott Parker back on the ice or somebody like Scott Parker and beat the crap out of the other team. If the NHL isn't going to regulate things, in my opinion, then we need to go to old school hockey because the enforcers had a role. Now, I wasn't a huge fan of that, but there was a role, so that doesn't happen. And in my opinion, the NHL needs to do something significant, and I can't even believe he's. I know it was a max penalty.
Suspend somebody else besides him.
That's
somebody
right.
That didn't do it.
Well, because that's what would happen in the good old days. That if you want to come at my guy, we're going to come at your guy, and everybody knows it. But right now, because of the way the NHL is, and it's fine. The game is better without fighting, in my opinion. But if that crap is going to happen, you've got to be able to do something besides just bringing back the enforcer. In my opinion, Dater, am I right?
Well, you know, I'm an Old Testament guy like you, D-Mac, but I'm older, too. There's a New Testament way of hockey now, and then there's the Old Testament. I am an eye-for-an-eye kind of guy. And, let's give the NHL a little credit here, though, D-Mac. They have tried to legislate these blindside hits out of the game. They used to be more frequent, I do believe, than they are now. They came up with a rule for this, specific hit, to outlaw it. And it really did get much more, tougher on these things. But when they do happen, there's sort of no recourse on the ice anymore, it seems like, for teams to sort of get back physically,
right,
at least. Otherwise, you're sort of A, taking a bunch of penalties and putting yourselves in the penalty box, and B, the refs won't even allow it. They give you all kinds of sanctions on top of that, third man in, that kind of thing. So, it's frustrating when you're a team that's always taking it like the Avalanche seems to, and nobody's doing anything about it except maybe a league flunky in New York giving a guy a two-game suspension. That doesn't feel very satisfying.
That's where I'm going.
Well, the Avs beat the crap out of them in the score, so good for them on that. And the team obviously responded well. Before the game, though, they had a players-only meeting. What went into that?
It was pretty much a garden variety team meeting from what I'm hearing. Consistency. Hey, boys, we've got to stop thinking we can just throw our sticks on the ice and win. It's not like that. We've proven that. Jared Bednar he wants this team to be, he wants them to think of themselves as, the lunch pail gang, the harder working team. I don't know if the top players always like to think of themselves that way or think of themselves that way. They want to think of themselves as stars and goal scorers and having fun and skill and being better than everyone. So I think there's a little bit of a tug of war there in the team identity. What is the team identity? So I think coach wants them to be a blue collar team and the players sometimes get a little stubborn and want to be superstars. And so I think that's mostly what they talked about. They had great results last night. The question moving on here is, do they keep those lessons and be a harder working team still, or do they want to go back to being superstars? We'll see starting tomorrow night.
I'm looking for the next time they play the Sharks so they can beat the crap out of them and respond. It's not actually for a while. Look at this. I'm looking it up, man. Are we not playing the Sharks? Oh, I got it. I got it. Friday, April 30th. Somebody, you know, Blechfeld. See, I don't even care about him because he's not even going to be on the team by then. It's got to be some other response. Man, I don't like it.
Just bring back the old days. What's wrong with you guys? Bring it back. Scott Parker was awesome.
To me, it's one way or the other, dude. It's one way or the other. So, and you know what, Avs, if you do want to win and you're having team meetings and you think you're a little too pretty, who's that grimy guy?
Well, give Nathan MacKinnon his own Marty McSorley. You know, let's go. Bring it back. I don't care.
I don't know. Do they even have a guy like that, Adrian?
You know, they should. Not really.
You know what? Then bring up somebody from the freaking Colorado Eagles that night and let him shine. Let him do his thing. I saw Eagles highlights the other day. They had like a 9-minute fight on the ice. It was fantastic.
You know what happens then, D-Mac, is all the, you know, the tree huggers are going to come out and say, oh, we can't have this.
Yeah, that's so, D-Mac. You know. For the record, D-Mac's advocating for fighting right now, but for the last year, we're always fighting about getting fighting out of the game.
I am one way or the other. I inherently, fighting slows the game down. Guys that are in the NHL that really shouldn't be, the best part of hockey to me is speed and skating. And fighting and clogging things up like the stupid left-wing lock that the Devils did years and years and years ago is boring as crap. So let's get rid of things that slow the game down. But that being said, I know justice when I see it. And if the NHL isn't going to make a stand on something like this, the guy didn't even get thrown out of the game. I get it. Again, match penalty. I get it. But I go way back on this, Adrian. Like, I go back to the Bertuzzi hit on Moore, which to me still makes me sick to my stomach that Steve Moore's career was over and Bertuzzi still walked the earth and skated on ice again.
Yeah, well, Bertuzzi just got a DUI the other day, by the way, so I don't know if he's walking the earth as well as he was. But
well, you know what I mean.
You know what was similar, though, D-Mac, to the hit on MacKinnon last night was Steve Moore's hit on Marcus Naslund, which caused that whole thing. But it wasn't as bad as the hit on Moore.
No.
Never hit Naslund like MacKinnon got hit last night. This was to the head. But you're right. You know, that is, though, D-Mac, sort of how everything turned into a nightmare for hockey for a little while with the Bertuzzi thing. So I do think we need to be careful here when it comes to the, hey, let's go take off their heads kind of thing.
I agree.
Because that does lend, you know, that's how we got Steve Moore and Todd Bertuzzi in the first place. So it's a more, you know, it's a more nuanced thing. Generally, I agree that, you know, you can't be the team that just gets sand kicked in your face all the time or ice shaven in your face, as it were. You have to hit back sometimes. You have to stand up to the bully. In hockey is a game of intimidation a lot of times, and if you don't stand up to it, you can pay for it dearly on the ice and off. More specifically on the ice and the scoreboard. Look, I think the Avs are going to. I think they're aware of this. I think they're going to talk about it,
mm-hmm.
And maybe we will see a guy called up. I mean, the keeper Sherwood, a guy from they got who played earlier this year, is a guy who could go out there and throw some hits around.
Okay,
Logan O'Connor can do that. But yeah, you know, the days of Scott Parker going out there and taking on the whole bench are kind of over in this league.
My man, we always appreciate it. Thank you, Adrian. And we'll read you at ColoradoHockeyNow.com.
Okay, guys.
There's our guy, Adrian Dater, on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. All right. In terms of what our takeaways were about George Payton and our guy, Vic Fangio, we'll get to that coming up next on The Drive.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe. including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Hi, Tyler. It was fun seeing George Payton and Vic Fangio today. I got to hand it to the NFL, man. They're a machine. They are a machine. They just know, like, when the right time is to just feed the beast when really nothing's going on.
Right.
So they say, hey, everybody's... Because I was wondering why Dan Campbell spoke to the media. And
got to stay in the headlines, man.
And then I was like, oh, wow, they're having everybody speak to their local media just to keep it going.
Yeah, they're not having, like, a set date here, but it's clear that all the teams have been told that you need to have some sort of presser here over the next week or so.
Right.
And they're all starting to trickle out. You know, I thought that today's was about as coach speak of stuff as you could possibly get.
Yeah.
I really don't feel like I got a ton of really, really good nuggets out of it.
Okay.
You know, I do think that Vic Fangio had a Freudian slip in there on your question.
Oh, yeah.
When he was at, I can't remember exactly how it popped up, but he said, you know, until we find our next, or until Drew becomes the next great quarterback.
There were
a few little nuggets dropped that you could read between the lines for sure.
Yeah, I think on that one, what's clear is, and this is kind of a no-duh sort of thing, but it's clear that Drew has not established himself as the guy moving forward.
Mm.
But it's tricky. It's nuanced. Because I think it was also clear today, they haven't given up on Drew Lock. In fact, I think they like Drew Lock.
I don't know about that. I don't buy that they like him. I really don't.
I don't know, man. There was another, like, hey, he's been here, he's working out,
yeah,
he's been around.
Yeah, I heard,
like,
a whole lot of defense of a guy that there's probably a 60-70% probability that he's going to be the starting quarterback next year, so they know that they have to find a way to prop him up somehow.
Right.
But if you read between the lines on what George Payton said and what Vic Fangio had to say, they see a whole lot more negatives going on right now than they do positives. And whenever you get in a situation like this where John Lynch has to defend that Jimmy Garoppolo is our guy. Oh, he's our guy moving forward. We love Jimmy. You know, he could be a fantastic quarterback in this league.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why is the real reason that you're defending him?
Oh, because he's being questioned.
Right. And I don't think it's a secret at all that right now the Broncos are doing their absolute best to try to control the narrative that even though they are actively pursuing Drew Lock's replacement, they're trying to do their best to make Drew and the team feel like, hey, if we don't actually find his replacement, we got your back, bro.
Hey, do you like how I said, you know, you've talked about how competition is important to
right,
the position.
Right.
I've actually
literally fit in your entire theory.
I've actually never heard Vic Fangio ever say that before. But just you know, I'm just sort of
no. But we've heard you say it. Yes.
Oh, I've said it a million times. But it's such a cliche with coaches. I figured he must have said that at some point. You know, and also, you know, I've got good reason to believe that the Broncos were not happy with the level of competition in the quarterback room itself.
Sure.
And they weren't. It wasn't the tide was going out. It was low tide. It was not a high tide raising boats. It was a low tide that puts all the boats in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened last year. And it let Drew Lock off the hook. Now, I would say maybe it does work out well for Drew. And I think this is what they may be thinking too. Like, if we challenge this guy, maybe there is another level for him to rise up on. Meaning, I don't think they haven't just totally given up. It feels a lot different to me than when Paxton Lynch was, you know, being Paxton Lynch.
I feel differently. I don't know what to say. I mean, when you hear George Payton, again, your question, you had a couple good questions in there, asked about Deshaun Watson, and he says, oh, we're going to be in on every deal, no doubt about it. I can't talk specifics. You know, I can't talk specifically about Deshaun Watson, but believe me, we're going to be in on every deal. D-Mac, you don't talk that way with a guy that you're still trying to hype up. You don't do that.
Right.
It doesn't happen. You're not going to find any GM or any head coach in the NFL talking about a quarterback that they believe in terms like that. We're not going to be in on every deal if you believe in your guy. You're not. You're not actively pursuing Matt Stafford. You're not actively pursuing Deshaun Watson. So, you know, you can sit here and try to tell me that you're believing them when they say all the kind things about him, that he's headed on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was talking about he was heading on the right track because he's in the building.
Mm-hmm.
He's working out. He shows good work ethic. Okay, that's great. And I'm glad that he's doing it. But the real story is what they're saying in the other words.
All right. Hey, by the way, did you watch the entirety of both Zoom press conferences?
No, I listened to them.
Oh, okay, but you heard them from start to finish.
Yeah.
You heard them both in the length of time that they went on. This is why these Zoom things drive me nuts. So I'm there. I got my virtual hand raised at the same time. Did it stand out to you just a pinch how long it took for me to actually be able to ask a question? Okay, Cliz, Troy.
Well, I know the order of operations. It's not, right. It's no secret how it's going
to
go.
But like when they got to like the web blogger, the guys from out of town, the interns, and then for Fangio, I didn't even get in until, all right, guys, just a couple more, which is cue for like maybe two more questions.
Correct.
Like this thing is done.
Yep.
And I didn't even get into like after that. So just to let you know, like, because some people say, oh, D-Mac, I haven't heard you on a lot of the press conferences or whatever. I mean, do you kind of get it? Do you understand a little bit of the frustration? And then they're asking.
They've got team partners. They've got people that they can trust. They've got their own guys. They've got their own website.
Trust me.
There's a way that this thing goes.
I get it. And I'm hearing questions about this guy, that guy, the other. All anybody cares about at this stage is the quarterback situation and Justin Simmons, Von Miller, and I guess they talked a lot about Juwan James. Okay, fine. But really, how many questions were about the quarterback situation? I mean, really, seriously, how many were there?
Yeah, not many, really.
And it just goes to show, man, Denver.
Is this you're doing your thing again.
Denver,
hey,
Tyler.
You can't help yourself.
Tyler.
Every single presser that we have, you do the exact same thing. It's the exact same story. Go on, I'll let you finish.
I'm just saying, athletes in this town and this market, it's a country club. It is a country club here in this market. All right? You guys got it easy.
We're in between. I've been in really, really soft market, which was Seattle.
Oh, they're ridiculous. They're not even a country club. I don't know what that is.
I've been in a dog-eat-dog market, which is out there in Washington,
yeah.
And that was an absolutely brutal experience with the media.
They are intense.
And then Denver was kind of somewhere in between. I actually think that Denver's got an appropriate balance. You've got the two or three guys that you know where they're coming for the heads, every single presser, and then you've got a bunch of people that kind of ride the line.
Right, I'll give you that because I've seen the Seattle press, which
I know that we've got a handful of dogs in this town, though.
We do.
I don't think it's as soft as you described.
I'm just saying there was a press conference with George Payton and Vic Fangio today, and there were like two questions about the quarterback situation. That's all.
All I know is inevitably after any presser, you're going to spend as much time complaining about the questions that were asked as you are the actual presser.
I will give you this. We do have some dogs here. You're right about that. Seattle maybe, softest. Green Bay's probably pretty soft. Seattle soft. I saw an indie guy come here to talk to Peyton Manning, and he rubbed Peyton Manning's belly. This is the weirdest interaction. Like,
well, that's a comfortable relationship.
I guess if you rub another man's belly.
Yep,
and on that note, belly. I don't want to rub your belly.
Terry.
And I really like you. And by the way, proportionally, it would fit very well because you're tall and I'm short.
Okay.
Don't try to short-shame me like Jim Boeheim, okay?
I love how you get so defensive over the short. You are so sensitive about short jokes. It's unbelievable. So sensitive.
Because I'm short, right?
You think
it's because I'm short. That's why that's funny.
It's just amazing.
Oh, my God.
Like, ride with it. It's funny. It's funny.
Ride with it.
There's a board up there that you can't reach. It's funny.
Oh, it's a Sarah. And I've never heard any of those at any point.
Jim Boeheim called somebody 5'2". I need to call him out. Everybody get rid of Jim Boeheim. He made a short joke.
That's not what I said. That's not what I said about Jim Boeheim.
Oh.
It was funny. Listen, I mean, the guy Jim Boeheim called
me. Why do you get so sensitive about it?
When was the last time you were short? You know what? Save that, because the answer's never. We'll get back with our guy Troy Rank as he provides his insight into what was going on with George Payton and Vic Fangio today. And Troy's short, too, by the way.
Better looking, though.
Let's catch up with the latest of the news of the day with Troy Rank coming up next.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Hi, and our guy, Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider.
Brought to you by ROX Roxy, doing there.
It was great to break down the presser with Fangio and Peyton with Troy today earlier. What were your big takeaways from George Payton and Vic Fangio today?
It was mainly about George Payton, really. And the interesting thing about Von Miller is the fact that he said he wants Von back, which I expected him to say. And if they didn't, they could have cut him by now, because they basically said, you know, they did a solid to A.J. Boye and Jarrell Casey because they weren't coming back, and they wanted to let them get on the market before free agency hit. So clearly they want Von back. It's under what conditions? Because if they wanted him back, they control that. They could just pick up the option and say you're back. So clearly they're trying to work through some stuff. And if that involves a pay cut, what will Von say? Will he see J.J. Watt as the floor or the ceiling in possible free agency? Will he just say, I want to take a bite in free agency, I've never done it? So that's interesting to me. The other takeaways, obviously, are that, you know, they have a wandering eye at quarterback. Tyler's talked about this a lot. You guys talk about it. They're impressed with Drew Locke's offseason. He stayed in town. I talked to Dalton Reisner about this, and Drew's had a great offseason, working out 5 days a week, 4 days at the facility, one day at Lando's place. But the reality is he has been inconsistent, so they're not ruling anything out at quarterback. But George Payton is checking all the boxes. Nothing's going to get beyond him. But the Von Miller one was interesting to me because of the fact if they wanted him back, they could have done it already. And so they clearly want him back, but they want him back on their terms. Otherwise, this would be over.
Yeah, it is interesting. They did acknowledge that they've been having conversations with him and his agent at this point. So I'm a little bit surprised to hear that we have not really heard anything about those negotiations at this point. I mean, have you heard any specifics of what they've actually talked about?
No, and I'm not surprised at that based on my knowledge of George Payton and how he does his business. He does his business in the shadows. He's had a great relationship with agents through the years. He protects their privacy. So I'm not surprised. I mean, it's not going to say there's going to be there'll be leaks at times. But it's just different with him and the way he deals with agents. Remember, he was an assistant GM for 12 years. So that's the one thing about Payton. His phone never stops buzzing. He knows everybody in the league. That's why when he says we're going to be involved in trade talks, because he can pick up the phone and call some. He knows everybody from every team, and I love that about him, that he can be nimble because of relationships he's built up over more than a decade as an assistant GM. But now, I have not heard, but it obviously would involve something to do with the money. So either you ask Von to take a pay cut, or you restructure it to give him money differently to take just less of a hit this year. The problem with saying a straight pay cut to Von, and I'm taking Von's side here, is they don't need the cap room. They're at $44 million right now. They don't net. I mean, I'm not saying they couldn't use it, but they're not sitting there right up against the cap saying, man, you got to do us a favor here. They're not. So I could see Von just saying, I want to try free agency. I think I'm better than J.J. Watt, and I can get a couple million more than him. So that's where it gets complicated.
What is Von Miller's trade value at this point?
None, because, I mean, it would be like Jarrell Casey last year, where the teams would be sitting there knowing you're going to release him then. If you're asking, if you're going to trade him, unless a team could somehow say, we'll give you a fifth and be able to negotiate with Von to keep him on our, you know, maybe a two-year deal, it's just the circumstances. He clearly has value as a player still, but in a trade market, it just wouldn't materialize because teams would be calling the Broncos bluff. Why would we trade for someone we feel like you're going to release?
All right, what about, I'm going down the list here. Well, let me play some for you. Peyton's thoughts about Philip Lindsay.
Yeah, we're still working through the, you know, Philip. I think Philip's a good player, very passionate. Obviously had some injuries last year, but he's a good player. He brings energy. He brings juice. You know, he's a restricted free agent. We do plan on tendering him. You know, I'm not sure what level, but, you know, we want Philip here.
Okay. Read between those lines.
Yeah, I think they would like him here, but I think they're going to put an original round tender on him, and so there would be no draft pick compensation. That would allow Philip to explore free agency, see what's out there, and then if it's not, I'm not saying it's Shelby Harris, but if you go out there and he doesn't like what he sees, they bring him back. And it's not like they don't want him back, but again, some of these things are, we want you back on our terms. And in Philip's case, I mean, you guys know I love Philip Lindsay. I love everything about him, but they didn't like him last year in their offense because they didn't use him. They didn't think he could catch the ball, and he fell out of favor when they didn't feel like he could play on third down. So he didn't have a role in the offense when Melvin Gordon started running the ball well the last eight games. So do they want him back? I have no doubt they would love to have him back. But again, I don't see him putting a second-round tender on Philip Lindsay. I see it being an original-round tender with the idea if another team comes in and makes him an offer that's better, then they'd lose him. That's what it's felt like the entire offseason with Lindsay. Yep. And I just want to see Philip get paid. So if that happens, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing for Philip.
Well, that's an awfully big insult to Phil, honestly. If you're going to put an original-round tender on him at this point and allow any team to come get him, sign him for whatever you want, all they have to do is offer a deal that the Broncos don't want to match. When if you were to put a second-round tender on him, all you have to do is pay him an extra $1 million. The difference is 2.1 for an original round to 3.25 for a second round tender. I mean, wow, did we not learn our lesson with C.J. Anderson? We did the exact same thing with C.J., and then we ended up having to pay him because we didn't put a second rounder on him.
Yeah, they're not in that position with Philip because they have Gordon. And I just think, honestly, if they lost both of them, they would move on. There's going to be enough guys available in free agency that they probably feel like they could start their running back room over and cheaper. I mean, they overspent for Gordon. We all know that. And I thought Gordon played really well the last eight games. But when you look at the industry, there's just no reason to pay a running back that kind of money. I mean, he'd have to be a superstar. And there's just so few of those that I wouldn't be surprised if they redo the running back room. I would think one of them will be back, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm shocked if they're not, if neither of them are back.
Thank you, Troy. We'll talk to you later.
See you, buddy.
See ya. Got it.
All right, there's our guy, Troy Rank, brought to you by
ROX Rocks Heating and Air.
Our Denver 7 Broncos insider. All right, we got a little snow today. Not that big of a deal. It's going to be nice after that, and we roll on. I'm loving that we got some good Broncos juicy stuff to talk about, and we keep going, man. We keep going.
Nice. Love Never it. A dull moment here. Never.
Mm-mm. Delicious coffee,
except
too.
From noon to 3.
Coffee. The way you take shots sometimes is, catches me off guard.
I got a thing with Stoke. I just got a thing with Stoke that it's never ending. So, and it's not Zach, it's Stoke.
By the way, what must listen radio? Chad Brown grilling Mike Evans day after day. So that is apparently going to roll on even tomorrow. I love it. And I love Nick and Cecil, and they are coming up next right here on The Fan.